Outkick the coverage live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
The man himself, the pride of Dublin, Ohio, the great Brady Quinn.
I really do hate those intros you do for me, man. We're just buddies hanging out, talking a little sports, talking about, you know, freezing dead bodies, you know, cryogenics and all that. I know you want me to stop talking about it. I have a hard time, though, because I find it fascinating. I really do. I think Albert Breer found it a little bit fascinating, too, that we were talking about it.
Well, I mean, listen, just dead bodies weird me out. That's it. They just weird me out. I don't know what it is. If you tell me, I don't care how good my friend is, but if you tell me there's an open casket, like, I'm going to try and pick up an extra shift at work. Like, I'm not going. I'm telling you that right now. I'm just not going.
Oh, man. I don't know if I've ever told you this before in person or on live air, but you're a terrible person.
I'm just telling you. Listen,
You basically just said to everyone on this show, if we die and have an open casket, you're not going to be there.
No, you know, no chance. Like, yeah.
I will pay my respects to you, even if you have an open casket, but you're not going to reciprocate. That's messed
up.
No,
no chance. I will call Scott Shapiro if that day, and hopefully that day never comes, but I will call Scott Shapiro and say, hey, man, terrible news, what happened? By the way, you guys got any, like, editing shifts you need or picked up or anything? Or, what about, do you need somebody to take out the garbage, clean the bathrooms? Like, whatever it is that I can use as a legitimate excuse to not have to go and stare at a corpse for a couple hours, I would like to not be a part of that. Just weirds me out. Listen, everybody's got their things. That just weirds me. You don't like shellfish. All right. I think that's weird.
Hold on. It's not that I don't like it. It's because my face blows up like I'm Will Smith in the movie Hitch when I eat it. Okay. That's the issue. Trust me. When I was eating stone crab and I first found out that I was allergic to shellfish, I was having the time of my life. I was looking at people saying, this is the greatest thing I've ever eaten. I can't believe I've never had this before. Why do my parents not ever at any point in time allow us to have lobster or crab or anything like that? Well, we're from Ohio, so it probably actually was a good idea. But I was enjoying myself, and then that whole moment took place. Next thing you know, I'm chugging Benadryl and drinking Jack and Cokes, not realizing that obviously the alcohol counteracts the antihistamine. So nothing really worked.
We'll come up with some options for you. Roberto, our technical producer, is a phenomenal chef. Roberto has some some shellfish allergic options for Brady Quinn at some point on the show if you've got them. Anything you can come up with there, Roberto.
Yeah,
for
you got anything, man?
Yeah, come on, Roberto. Anything? Anything at all? Anything that would help an issue with allergies to shellfish? Anything?
He's frozen right now. Yeah, maybe right. Cryogenically frozen.
By the way, I researched what Albert Breer was talking about last hour. It says Mr. Burns is cryogenically frozen at the age of 119. Scientists work to find a cure for 17 stab wounds to the back so that he can be thawed out and cured. He was cured in time to attend Lisa Simpson's wedding. However, he's not completely thawed out, so when he tries to sit down, he snaps in half.
I mean, what the hell are we talking about? What are we talking about?
He snaps in half? I would say that's the furthest thing from figuring it out.
So basically, what you're saying is that he's the stick of gum that you got in the baseball card pack when you were younger. Like that stick of gum.
Those are good.
Good. It's like a credit card. Like how do you eat those? Like
that
the stick
thing was
of gum
good for like 10
Put
seconds.
Put it in your mouth and chew it.
Oh,
10
man.
Seconds of like sugar and flavor, and then it was done.
Yeah, come on, man.
Basically,
good?
By the time you got through that pack of cards looking for any card you wanted, the gum was already done.
Yeah, it was terrible. Yeah, just not great whatsoever. But and I don't even know if they still put gum in packs of cards. I know trading cards are a big business nowadays, but anyways.
Yeah, no, they don't do that anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen,
you don't stain these cards nowadays.
Well, I mean, and the gum business kind of took a hit because everybody shopped online. And when you picked up a pack of gum, you're always at the check stand. Now, nobody's at the check stand looking around. It's like why you can't read a National Enquirer to find out which alien has a heroin addiction that lives next door to you. Like, you just, there's weird things that just fell up by the wayside, Brady Quinn, just to let you know. Just giving you the heads. I know you don't do your own shopping, but just letting you know, if you ever did.
That's 100% that's what it
was. All right. Dak Prescott. All right, I was going to try and be creative here as a broadcast professional. I'm not going to be creative. Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, Brady, he is over the devastating injury he suffered last year for the Dallas Cowboys. And he talked about just sort of, you know, how he overcame it. And you pointed this out to me that he actually overcame it, you know, celebrating Cinco de Mayo. He was celebrating Cinco de Mayo this past May 5th, got on the dance floor and just decided, you know, that was the moment where he was going to transition and put all his focus into the football season and just kind of leave that injury in the past. So there it is. When everybody says, man, Cinco de Mayo, all it is, you know, Americans use it as an excuse to get drunk because that has nothing really to do with the Mexican Independence Day. And that comes in September, which is 100% correct. Dak Prescott used it as motivation to get to return from injury. Now, did you ever do anything like that when you were returning from injury? Did you go out on St. Patty's Day and, you know, start, you know, splitting your liver a little bit? And next thing you know, you felt better about things?
I can't remember a time where I did anything on a holiday or at a wedding or at any sort of celebration where I thought to myself, this was the moment that now I feel like I'm recovered right. And I can go back and play a professional sport. There was at no point in time ever in my life where I felt like dancing at a wedding, dancing at a quinceañera, dancing at a bar mitzvah, whatever the case may be, none of that would have equated to me feeling like, yep, you know what? I just did the stanky leg, all right? I just did whatever other dance move. I can't think of any because I'm a terrible dancer. But I just pulled out some moves, pulled out all the stops, did the running man, the worm, whatever. The ankle feels good. I can go back to playing professional sports. That's usually not the moment where I'm even thinking about professional sports. If you're on a dance floor, especially on Cinco de Mayo, usually you're just kind of taken in by everything else going
on. Yeah. Like I'm not
kind of
dancing.
Kind of an interesting story there.
Yeah, I'm not dancing on Cinco de Mayo. I'm having some drinks. By the way, I would like to call you out on something. You've never been to a quinceañera in your life. All right, man. You don't know. You never play the game, man. You don't know what we go through, right, Roberto? He's never played the game. He doesn't get it.
I mean, why do you say things that you don't know about?
No idea.
You just don't know. You don't know what that life's all about. Roberto and I do, man.
All right.
You know,
like, so my cousin doesn't have a wife who's from Mexico. She's Mexican.
this is such a lie.
You know, a few dollars. It's definitely not. In fact, Jason, it's his birthday today. Happy birthday, Jason. Yeah. He's definitely not listening right now, but yeah. I'll just at least say that to him. It is actually his birthday today.
Shout out to Jason, who's listening on the iHeartRadio app in Guadalajara. We appreciate it, Jason. Brady's the Mexican side of Brady's
family. They live
family.
In Kentucky. They've moved. He used to live down in Texas on the border. He'd travel across. That's how he met his future wife. Yeah, it's all a true story. So
okay.
I do appreciate you trying to point that out, but no.
Quinceañeras are a complete waste of money, by the way. And 2016.
Yeah, tell me.
My daughter's not having one of those.
Put that on the list, Roberto.
My daughter's not having a quinceañera.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have that conversation with her when the time comes that she's not getting a quinceañera.
She's not. Okay. That's a waste of money. Hell no.
Yeah. All right. Have fun with that one. All right. So, Brady Quinn, I also want to mention this. Dak Prescott is now also a member of the Jordan brand. He left his contract with Adidas, and now he's with the Jordan brand. And all of this goes back to just the original point of this conversation. Has anybody had a better offseason than Dak Prescott? Coming off the injury he suffered on a bad football team and all the naysayers and the debating about his contract, and you and I were talking about this like everybody else was when we were doing our show on Sunday nights here at Fox Sports Radio, and we were always saying the entire time, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid. People kept pushing back. No, you don't get it. He's going to get paid. Not only did he get paid, he got everything he could possibly ask for in the contract negotiation from the Dallas Cowboys. He fleeced them. And then on top of that, it was after suffering an injury, and now he's got a brand new endorsement deal. Nobody had a better offseason than Dak Prescott. Just a wonderful performance.
I don't know anyone that's had a better offseason coming off of an injury. I mean, that was the one thing that you thought, okay, if I mean, based on how it looked, considering, you know, his leg was pointing north and his ankle was pointing south, I wouldn't have thought that everything would go exactly the way he had hoped. You know, where the contract, all the details, any little clause or the duration or the amount of money, everything. It was all what he wanted. And that's after an injury. And then you look at what he's doing off the field, you know, after an injury, people still buying into him, who he is. And here's the reality. He is on the right track record. I mean, last year, before he got hurt, they were averaging, I want to say, 377 yards a game passing. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. So if he can – now, it's going to be hard to actually replicate that or stay at that high of a level for 16 games. But if they can be anywhere close to that, that's going to be pretty ridiculous. So he's on the right trajectory. He's got everything going for him. He's a good guy off the field, everything else. He's conducted himself always in the right way. So I'm glad he's being rewarded for it. The big thing now, though, is Dallas Cowboys need to get to the playoffs and win a Super Bowl. Like, it feels like forever. I mean, forever since they've been able to actually feel relevant and competitive as a playoff team. Forget the Super Bowl, as a playoff team. And I realize the NFC is a lot tougher than the AFC in regards to the parity. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of good quarterbacks. There's a lot of good teams in the you know, AFC. It's been more of Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, and then you had your occasional, you know, other quarterbacks that have played a part. And now it's Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes that are largely the best team. We'll see who else can step up, but that's kind of where we're at. And as good as all this stuff is off the field, it's time now for Dak and the Dallas Cowboys to step up, get in the playoffs, and try to make a run.
You know, they've got 4 playoff wins since their last Super Bowl in 96. Think about that. 4 playoff wins.
25 years. 25 years.
And the best part is they're still the most valuable team in the NFL by a wide margin.
In the world.
Yes.
Not the NFL, the world.
Yeah, in the world by a wide margin. And there's still a topic of conversation that generates interest from people, whether it's Dak's contract, Tony Romo, whatever the case may be. And they've got 4 playoff wins since 1996. That's insane. Like, Jerry Jones is a mastermind. And like, when's the last time they were a legitimate Super Bowl contender? Like when you can think, man, you know, Dallas has got
a... The last time they won one?
Yes.
Like, literally, the last time they won one?
So to see all of this, and like, I don't know whether or not Dak Prescott's going to win a Super Bowl there. I have no idea. The NFC East feels like, you know, it's a three-team race with, you know, Washington and definitely not Philadelphia, but you've got Washington, you got the Giants, and you got the Cowboys, so they're going to battle it out. So I have no idea what this season's going to look like for them. But when you are the most valuable franchise in the world on planet Earth, and you got 4 playoff wins since 96, dude, like, what an amazing performance. Like, I'm not even hating on the Dallas Cowboys. I'm celebrating them. Good for them that they're still relevant, that people still make them a topic of conversation around the world of sports. Like, they shouldn't be at all at any level. Like, if you...
I'm not going to go that far. I mean, I think they're a team that's got a rich history, and so it's one of those teams that you follow for that reason. Jerry Jones is a fun owner, and I guess you'd say front office executive, too, with the way he goes about handling the media and everything else along with it. There seems to be some drama that comes along with it, but they capitalize off it. I mean, that's the reality is they've been able to, much like the NFL, capitalize off of the off-the-field, off-season drama with the different superstars that they have. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've clearly lacked the ability to have any sort of, you know, success relative to, you know, even a team like the Eagles, who have won a Super Bowl, obviously, more recently. But the fact of the matter is none of that matters now. Like, moving forward, you've got your quarterback. You've made some changes. It's Mike McCarthy's second year. You've got, I guess, somewhat of a full offseason. I mean, at least you could have, depending on how the team's handled OTAs and offseason training. But it's time, man. It's time. There's no excuses for this team, for this roster anymore. it's time for them to go win some football games and try to make a run in the playoffs and actually, you know, be able to be the team that I think their fan base expects them to be.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Later on this hour, there was a team in the NFL who did something very different from every other team just recently. So if you're wondering, hey, man, how are these training camp highlights looking? What are the box scores on some of these training camps practices that we've seen? One team decided, yeah, we're going to go ahead and we're going to do this a little bit differently. So we'll have that for you here coming up later on this hour on Fox Sports Radio.
It's called a mini camp. Yeah, a little different.
But I mean, listen. I mean, according to some people, I mean, this is big stuff, man. I mean,
I'm not gonna say it's not big stuff. I mean, that's why you've got guys literally taking box score stats and reporting them on Twitter. Like that's what they feel like is important. I mean, we're talking about practice, doing stats on practice. Think about that for a second.
Didn't Pete Carroll and the Seahawks tell you to intentionally throw bad passes in practice? Was that a story I think you told me.
No, not bad passes. Just things that we would probably never do. Like, for example, when you're running like a boot or a naked, right? So you're faking the run one way and you're booting back around the other side. You know, you typically a flat route. You've typically got an over or a crossing route. And then your wide receiver on that side, he's going to run either a deep comeback or he's going to run some sort of, you know, takeoff go route to help clear it out. Well, the wide receiver on the side of where you're faking the football, that guy's got a deep post. He's really there to occupy what is most oftentimes a middle field safety or a safety from cutting that crossing route. Like, that's what you're hoping you'll do, but usually you're hoping it's post-high look. He's going to occupy that middle-of-the-field safety. And so he would be like, hey, that backside post is there. Throw it up. You know, hit him. And I was like, well, I ain't got that in my repertoire. Like, hey, look, man, maybe Russell can do that. I can't do that. I'm going to go with the old, like, hey, let's just read it. Top down, come back to the over, to the flat, you know, however you want to do it, or flat, over, come back, you know, low to high. I'm not going to try to make that throw.
Hey, Michael Robinson, you there, a little 4 yard out. I got you, buddy.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take that easy profit and move forward. I don't have that sort of ability like Russ. So he would challenge us to make throws like that or take throws in the tighter windows and, you know, say, hey, look, you know, don't care what the outcome is here. Just want you to try to make a play. So there's no doubt he would at times try to get us to work on that sort of stuff or even situationally say, look, you know, treat this like it's fourth down. You're not getting the football back if you don't get a first down here. So I don't care if it's a pick. I don't care if it's a turnover. He was really good about that from a situational standpoint. And then just trying to experiment and trying to, you know, do some different things to make sure the defense was playing honest too.
Yeah, but he wasn't keeping score of that stuff. You know, he wasn't sitting.
I mean, not in that instance. He did always keep score to make things competitive. Like that was, you know, at different moments. But there's definitely some times too where he kind of understood what he was asking of you. So he wanted to make sure, you know, it was fair. It wasn't like it was anything that, you know, he was asking you was unfair.
Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here, Outkick the Coverage on Fox Sports Radio. All right, so. There's a big day approaching in the world of college football. You've been all over this for a long time, and I say this with all sincerity. Look, the last thing I want to do is give you a compliment. Like, that's the last thing I want to do. All right, especially after what you just told me during the break about how I'm a terrible dog owner. The last thing I want to do is give you a compliment. But you've been all over this name, image, likeness situation in college football and how it's coming. It's going to change some things. We got to pay attention to all this. Why is July 1st the important date to keep track of when it comes to college football and how much different things could look moving forward?
Because in these five states, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, and New Mexico, they have already passed within their state name, image, and likeness bills that will allow those colleges to start paying collegiate athletes starting July 1st, 2021. Now, there's more that are in the works, too. You know, Arizona's actually starts on July 23rd. Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, Oregon, they're all either awaiting a governor's signature or a vote by either the House in the case of Oregon, or both the Senate and the House in those states. But they could also be coming to the party this year as well, depending on how that goes through their state legislators. So this is a big deal. It's a big deal because it's literally transforming how we see amateur sports and how we see college athletics as we know it. It will start July 1st, 2021 in those five states. So what's the problem? Well, it's going to start in those five states. The other 45, they're either waiting on something to happen within their state legislator, their governor, or they don't even have a bill altogether. 10 states don't have anything. So the problem is you're going to have an unlevel playing field. You're going to have schools like Florida, Florida State, UCF, Miami, all able to essentially look at recruits, look at players who are in the transfer portal, which now can transfer without any penalty, and they're going to essentially be able to offer them six figures and say, hey, come to our school. And they're going to have the ability to do that compared to other schools like in Ohio State, for example, obviously in Columbus, Ohio, which they have not passed any sort of bill that allows them to do this. So most coaches, and even the NCAA, they're now looking at Congress and saying, you guys got to get something done, because otherwise it's going to go state by state. It's going to create an unlevel playing field until everyone's caught up, which in some cases, some of the states have it maybe on the docket, or they have maybe they're looking at passing it, but it's not going to hit until 2022, 2023. So it becomes incredibly unlevel for everyone involved. And so what they're looking for is the Senate Committee on Commerce. They're trying to rush to get a bill to the floor to vote on it. So nationwide, it'll be equal. And they'll have a set of guidelines and rules. The problem is, it's incredibly difficult to understand, okay, for example, is there a cap on what these kids can make? Like, can any player or any kid just make whatever he wants? Is there anyone overseeing this? Any oversight? If there's some shadiness going on as far as, you know, what marketing deals are taking place? Usually universities have always, and the NCAA has always tried to protect these student athletes, whether it's in regards to, you know, their health and HIPAA, or, you know, anything else along with that. Now you're kind of subjecting them or opening them up to, well, hey, shouldn't we be able to see, you know, what these kids are making, who's paying them, you know, how that's all going about? And then who do we put in charge of that? Do we think the NCAA can do that? Do they even want to do that? So there was a ton of issues that they've got to sort out and figure out with legislation nationally. Otherwise, these five states, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama, which I don't think Alabama needs an extra advantage at this point, and New Mexico are all going to be able to capitalize. And this is going to be an interesting study. If nothing's passed nationally, like, will New Mexico all of a sudden start to be getting, like,
yeah,
some
no
four-star and five-star recruits?
No kidding. I mean, look, like, if I'm a player and money's an issue, or I'm coming out and I want to make sure that I'm going to get the most bang for my buck, you know, no pun intended, and I've got options between, say, New Mexico and a Utah, or New Mexico and, I don't know, a Fresno State or something like that. Why would you not lean towards the place? Maybe it's not the most desirable place in the world, but the place that's going to be able to get you paid. Like, right. I like, and Alabama, like, to your point, it's not like they need any help. Nick Saban doesn't need help recruiting.
No, not at all.
This would put them so much further ahead than everybody else, which goes back to the conversation of, is it possible Nick Saban could end up with 10 national titles? Oh, yeah, it's very possible, especially if something like this rolls out. Like, this is going to be – and the fact that it's Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, and Alabama also, SEC, 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 it's why everybody felt – man, the SEC is going to figure out a way to play football through COVID. Like, people don't understand how important college football and specifically college football is to SEC country. It's everything to them. And so the fact that four of the five are all SEC schools and SEC based, not the most surprising thing in the world.
No, not at all. And I think it also helps, you know, those coaches. We talked about the Saban extension and how it might mean some of these coaches might have a shorter leash, because they're going to have to go up against Alabama. And obviously he's still going to continue to you know, perform at a high level, where that team is. But this might help kind of level the playing field, where when you play some of those non-conference games, they've got better talent. They're mopping up the floor with some of these other teams there. But like I said, I mean, I even think if you look at, for example, because as much as you're saying, well, you know, these are four states that have SEC schools, think about Florida State, which has been down for a while.
Yep.
Now they can jump right back on and become more competitive within
Georgia
the ACC.
Georgia Tech as well, too.
Georgia Tech, Miami, obviously, even though they've been more competitive of late with De'Ara King. But I think about, like, Clemson's reign, and I look at this and go, okay, like the other states that right now have it on the docket are Connecticut, Illinois, Iowa, and Oregon. I don't hear South Carolina in there. Like, I don't hear North Carolina in there. So you look at other schools like Clemson and North Carolina and football, and obviously basketball for North Carolina, like those schools are at a disadvantage. You know, Duke's at a disadvantage in regards to how they can recruit. Now, maybe that doesn't matter because Duke's Duke and North Carolina's North Carolina in basketball, but for football, yeah, you better believe it makes a difference. So maybe that's where Clemson and Dabo, who's had a great run, maybe Florida State and Miami start creeping back up. If legislation doesn't pass soon and they don't start, you know, kind of making their way with making it a more level playing field in regards to recruiting. And by the way, it's not just about recruiting out of high school. That's a piece of it. With the transfer portal and how much activity is going on right now, it's also about, like, them being able to get guys that have maybe, you know, were a five-star somewhere else, weren't seeing the field, had some injuries. Now they're coming over to their school. And the Alabamas and Clemsons, you don't even have to recruit them, just because they want that opportunity to go to the bigger school and win a national championship. So there's a lot of things that are, you know, coming up here July 1st. It's a big date. There's a lot of pressure on the Senate Committee on Commerce, and we'll see what they can do between now and then.
Well, let me ask you this. All right. I want you to be honest. All right. Don't half-ass this. I want you to be honest here. You've told me that was the other school other than Notre Dame, when Brady Quinn was a seven-star recruit out of Dublin Kaufman High in Ohio, you told me that Michigan was the other team that was really aggressive and wanted to. Okay, so it came down to, was there a top three, or was it just Michigan and Notre Dame that were the only?
Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State.
Okay. What if Notre Dame said, we're not going to pay you. We're not offering you any money. This was an opportunity back in the day, name, image, and likeness. And you obviously had a name. You had the image. You were very marketable as a player in college. But then you had Michigan and Ohio State that were willing to offer you money. Would that have impacted your decision on choosing to go to Notre Dame or other schools that were willing to offer you money?
Of course. I mean, how could it not? And especially considering my family's financial situation at that point in time. It's one of the reasons why I contemplated leaving Notre Dame early. Even though my parents really wanted me to get my degree, there was also that lingering thought and concern in my mind for where we were from a financial standpoint and how fast I'd be able to help them once I got to the NFL. So if at that point in time in high school, I could have been able to pitch in and help out, no brainer. I mean, I would have had to literally change the list of priorities and the pros and cons that, when I sat down with my high school coach and my parents and we talked about it, it would have changed dramatically because now you're prioritizing those things differently. And that's one of the concerning things that I have for Notre Dame as an alum is Indiana doesn't even have it. They don't even have a bill in either the Senate or the House. So, you know, they could be trailing behind these other schools, which, I mean, look, it's a unique place as it is because of the academic requirements and where it's at and all that. But that's one of the concerns I think I have for a lot of those schools that have excelled or done well of late, where now we're at a tipping point where this thing can go south quick over the next 5 years if there's not more sweeping legislation that opens this thing up from a national standpoint.
Fox Sports Radio, he's Brady Quinn. I'm Jonas Knox. This is FSR. I will just say this on the name, image, and likeness bill that could be passed. I mean, you know, if Hawaii gets this, it's over, right? I mean,
right, but
over.
They don't even have a bill on the floor.
Oh, I know, and they don't even have a stadium to play in. But if all of that didn't exist, if Hawaii were able to get this passed, you mean to tell me I can come play in Hawaii and get paid for it? I'm out. See, and I don't care what Nick Saban says. I'm out,
here's,
Brady Quinn.
Here's the issue with Hawaii is they have an extremely expensive travel budget.
Yep.
And so I'm not sure what funds that they can afford to divert to athletes unless they've got some, you know, big time alum who's going to sponsor him or some sort of marketing deal out there. But their travel alone makes it hard for them to be able to make a profit.
Well, I mean, give them a cut of some of those catamaran tours the people take when they go out there in Waikiki.
Is that what you did when you went out there?
Yeah, we did. I mean, and just got bombed.
Yeah,
I had no listen. You're on a catamaran with a bunch of strangers, and you know they're serving beers. And I told my girlfriend, now wife at the time, I just said, "Hey, here's a heads up." And she said, "What's going on?" I was like, "I'm gonna get mangled right now, absolutely ripped." She goes, "Why?" I'm all, "Cause this is boring, and we're doing it because you wanted to do it. But I'm letting you know, there's a bar right there. I've got cash on me. I couldn't care less about seeing any of this stuff. The water's a little bit treacherous, and if I'm going down and this thing's going down, I want to go down and make sure I've got a hangover at the bottom of the sea." And so that's how it happened.
That was actually what I envisioned. Is you don't strike me as someone who's going to do well on a boat.
No, I do fine on a boat. Like that's not the issue at all. It's just a boat with a bunch of strangers. And, you know, you're taking a tour. It's like, come on, this isn't a safari, man. I'm not seeing a giraffe. You know,
just worried about
eat.
Getting scurvy. That was your issue. Is you were concerned about scurvy?
Listen, I'm a boat guy. I've got three pairs of Sperry topsiders.
That's right.
That counts. That means I'm legitimately a water boat guy.
And you have salmon pants, so that would kind of fall in line with that too.
Yeah. $10 at H&M. All right, it's golf attire. You don't know anything about it. You know anything about it, man? You don't shop on the discount rack. You don't know anything about it, Brady Quinn. I'm
a
man of the
people. I can't fit in H&M. All right, like that's made for smaller human beings. That's not made for me.
Thank you. All right. Brady Quinn, Jonas Knox here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, a team in the NFL is taking a different approach when it comes to training camp. What does it actually mean, though? We'll have that for you right here on FSR.
This is Outkick the Coverage.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The San Francisco 49ers, Brady Quinn, they have said that's a wrap. That is a wrap on minicamp. We are good here. We do not need any more of this. Kyle Shanahan announced that. He said we're all good here. Now, this is after they suffered a couple of injuries. Justin Skull, or School, rather, who's the offensive lineman, he suffered a torn ACL. Also, Tarvarius Moore, who's a safety, a defensive back, he suffered an injury as well, too, most likely season-ending. We know what they went through last year, obviously, with the injuries. They were ravaged more so than probably anybody in the NFL. But Kyle Shanahan has said, we're good here. We don't need any more of this. And you seem to think, and you pointed out that this is not that abnormal. And Kyle Shanahan kind of indicated that when he made the decision.
Yeah, look, other teams have done this in previous off seasons. I remember when I was with the Seattle Seahawks in 2013, they had actually been docked practices because of the physical nature in which we practiced with OTAs. And I will say this, it was, we talked about earlier, the competitive environment that Pete Carroll created there. It was very different than any other organization that I went to after that. I mean, I remember those practices, you know, felt like, and again, I didn't end up playing with them that season. They released me last cuts in the end of August. But we were together in the preseason, and we beat the doors off everyone. You know, we played that preseason because of how we practiced. And I remember even then, you know, we had got in, I think you're allowed 10 OTAs, or at least you were back then. We had gotten 8 or 9. And the last week's like, no, you're good. Like, I feel good enough about where we're at. You're good. You don't need to do an extra one. Even mini camp, I think, was cut down a little bit. It's usually, you know, 3 days. I think we only ended up doing 2. And it's in part because he felt like, look, we've gotten the work we've wanted to get in. We feel like we're at a good spot. There's no reason in risking potentially an injury or even just us getting docked in the future for someone calling in another competitive practice or something like that. So I remember being a part of that, you know, that team. There was other teams, too, where, like, the last day of OTAs would end up being something more fun for the players, or even, you know, something with mini camp would be more fun for the players. Usually that happens that this time of year in the offseason. But this year in particular, because of the way the NFLPA has handled things and talking to players about not showing up, you got to think if you've got a good turnout to begin with, like 80-plus players, you're already ahead of the eight ball. Like, you're already ahead of a lot of other teams out there that don't have their entire team, that don't have some of their starting players practicing for OTAs, let alone minicamp. So I think Kyle Shanahan felt like they're in a good point. They got in what they needed to get in, and why not give these guys a break and allow them a chance to decompress and come back ready for training camp?
Now, he did say that his plan was to take them bowling the last day. Now, I don't know if you're much of a bowler. I don't know if that's something that you would be interested in. But as
I used to be on a bowling team, yeah.
No, you weren't.
Yeah, yeah. I was until we realized that, unfortunately, with my commitment to sports, like other sports, I should say, we like couldn't make enough of the actual events and all that. But for 1 year, I want to say I was like maybe a freshman. I was still playing football, baseball, basketball. And this guy came up and approached me and another buddy. He's like, you guys are pretty good. We've got a league. You guys should join it. We're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, it sounds like a good idea. We're competitive. And then we realized we could never make it. We couldn't find a fourth teammate. And so we just got straight sevens for our teammate that we never end up having join our team. And so because of that, we were like almost in last place the entire time. We're like, screw this.
Okay, now, and are you doing all this sober?
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, I thought you were in college.
No.
Wait, hold on a second. You're a freshman in high school, you're on a bowling team? Who does that? Why are you such a meathead? Like, can't
How's
you do
that a meathead?
Can't you do something productive like the rest of us and kick a hacky sack around and figure out who's got the longest armpit hair? Like, why do you have to go bowl? You've already got enough sports going on. You're already being recruited by Notre Dame. You got to join a bowling team? The hell's
that? I wasn't being recruited then, but no, we figured it would be a great path to just to go down into the gutter, rip darts on the side, you know, start developing some sort of habit of drinking alcohol. No,
rip darts on the side. What does that even mean?
I mean, here's what I will say: I never got my own bowling ball. I did buy a pair of shoes because I didn't want to just use those rented shoes.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
But never had my own bowling ball.
Yeah, listen, I had a bowling ball. I had a pair of shoes. They're great. They're comfortable.
You seem like a bowling ball type of guy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.